once more in dependence upon the help of the Lord, I would seek your prayerful attention to the sixth chapter of the Gospel as recorded by John and verse 37. The sixth chapter of the Gospel as recorded by John, the 37th verse. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We tried to speak a few things that related to the first part of this text this morning. We tried to describe who this all that is mentioned in the first part of the text, all such characters, who they were and what they were by nature, and all these that are the subjects of his love, all that are the subjects of his choice. And we tried to point out the blessedness of this gospel promise, for that is what it is. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ in one verse, and it's a blessed and sacred promise which you and I can plead at the throne of grace. We try to pick up those spiritual fathers and mothers in Israel that are laden and burdened with the souls of others, their own family perhaps, or the families, or even one and another persons whom God has put in their heart to pray over. And we try to describe these characters, who they were, far off, hell deserving sinners by birth and practice, and the blessed promise, all that the Father giveth me, they were given to Christ. Christ, in love to this people, went to the end of the law for righteousness' sake, suffered in their room, place, and stead, wrought out a righteousness acceptable to God that covers every one of these that are his, given to him. He bought them, paid the price for them, laid his life down for them, died for them, and rose again for them. This people that are given to him, all that the Father giveth me. But then there are his, as we said, they're his for all eternity, once in him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands, none shall pluck thee from the strength of Israel's hand. And they'll prove him to be, as his word declares he is, an unchangeable and a faithful God. And oh, what stability we felt there is in this promise. What strength there is. What comfort is this word to God's people. And it enables them, my friends, and I want to again draw the attention to the burdened souls here. What comfort it is, because it is a comfortable promise, a comfortable promise of assurance. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But the Lord enable us to continue. And this is what strikes me. They shall come. They shall come. And my friends, again, let me say this. No devil in hell will stop them. They shall come. I looked at in the interval that word that you will find in the Psalm 91. That blessed psalm of security. And it ends with this, he shall call. There are eternal sureties here, my friends, there are eternal verities here. And this people that are Christ's, by gift and Christ by purchase, shall come to me. Blessed people, and we can trace, I hope, some of us, would to God it would include all of us. I hope it will. The exercised heart will trace it. They shall come. What means the Lord uses is sovereign. What means the Lord will use in your heart is what he will not, he'll use some other method in mine, but they shall come. They'll not be destitute. They'll know the throne of grace. They shall come. They'll be brought to the pathway of prayer, and into the pathway of prayer over their souls, over their circumstances, over their pathway, their providential pathway too. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How will they come? What will be the condition of their soul as they come? What will be the state and condition and the exercise of their heart as they come to the Lord Jesus Christ? This isn't free will, my friends, it's free grace. And we read for your instruction and for my instruction, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Actual experiences of the child of God, and that thou art drawn to Jesus Christ. If you have walked the pathway of the spiritual family of God, you'll have come to places and experiences where you'll prove that you've had to come. I remember in the early days, well, one or two things come back to my mind, but I remember being thankful to God, the Holy Ghost, that the prodigal's case was left in the Word of God. My friends, he had to come. He had to come. I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Well, what was the condition he was in when he came? What was the state of his soul when he was brought to come? He was perishing with hunger. We read that when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. That's why he came. And he remembered his father's house and the plenty that was there. He was a prodigal, a character that has spent all his substance in riotous living and was now destitute. That's how you'll come, my friends, destitute. Do you despise the way the scriptures speak of sinners? That thou art poor, that thou art afflicted by sin, that thou art brought into destitution and helplessness? But that's how sinners will come to Jesus Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come. Oh, there's a most blessed promise here. They shall come. I can't get away from this. If there is, there's a promise. We read about it today, or this afternoon, in the continuation of this chapter. And it spoke, and it pointed out to a promise which is in the prophecy of Isaiah. And I think it's in the 55th of Isaiah, where the prophecy leaves this on record. If I can't find it. But we read there of the spiritual people of God, the children of God. And it is this promise. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Well, my friends, if that is in a spiritual way, of course, the Church of Christ. But if there's parents who are blessed with such promises as that in their heart, respecting their own offspring, they shall come. Thou come destitute. Thou come empty. Thou come poor. Thou come wretched. There's a hymn that says this, and it's not in our book, and it matters not. I came to Jesus as I was. That's the best way to come, my friends. Oh, don't patch up something. Don't start to reform and think you'll live on reformation. It's regeneration which draws sinners to Christ, not reformation. You can patch up all your moral life, if you're able to, that is. And you can walk upright then from there onwards if you think you can. But that never brought a soul to Jesus Christ yet. But the sinners that are known the state and condition of the soul as sinners deserving nothing but endless misery, that know in their own heart of hearts that God frowns upon sin, but it's the Holy Ghost's work to reveal to that sinners Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There was another thought came to my mind. I could take you to roughly the spot of ground. Whilst I was working in Maidstone, I could take you to the spot of ground where, burdened with sin, my sin, not someone else's, enough to drive me to despair. Oh, the words of that precious hymn in our book dropped in. Why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face. Raise thy downcast eyes and see. Thousands do his throne surround. They were sinners, once like thee, and a full salvation found. Oh, they shall come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They'll come in prayer. They'll be like the woman. The woman that met Christ from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. You prayed that prayer sometimes in your extremities. Lord, help me. Discouraged, oh yes. The exercises of your soul, you have proved this, my friends, and this is the pathway of God's spiritual people. And he answered her, not a word. Not a word. Been there? Prayed a long time over a matter. Burdened with it, the impossibility of it increases. Lord, help me, the woman came, and yet Jesus answered her, not a word. Remember this, delays are not denials. The Lord's time to bless, the Lord's appointments to bless are in his hand. He'll make you wait on him, and he'll make you wait for him. We mentioned the 10th of Hebrews this morning. And there is an encouraging word in the 10th of Hebrews for waiting souls. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Do you feel like giving up? You're not alone, my friends. We sometimes get into the place we expect the Lord to answer prayer immediately. But if he did, where's the trial? Where's the trial of faith? Where's the exercised heart? Where's the waiting on him, the waiting for him? He does all things, my friends, after the counsel of his own will, and all things for his own honour and glory. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But then, when the Lord will use circumstances, that his people shall come to me. Circumstances in their pathway, the trials of the way, the adversity of the way. that dear servant of God that lived and died in that house recently, the last 12 months, used to say, he loads their shoulders well with woe and thus obtains his end. What's his end? Sinners are drawn to Jesus Christ. I can hear his voice now. They shall come. Blessed, my friends, if the Lord's put anything in your pathway, and as I trace back the dealings of the Lord in the way that I believe he's led me, I can find nothing wrong with it. Because I know this, my heart is so deceitful that I wouldn't be concerned with these truths but for his mercy. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And circumstances will bring you to Jesus Christ. Circumstances that are sanctified. Let me tell you this. I remember some years ago a servant of God preached before us, and he said this, and I've never forgot it. He said, don't listen to this expression that religious people have. Trouble will bring you to Jesus Christ. And I've learnt it, my friends, it never will unless it's sanctified. If the Lord is pleased to tip your pathway up and down, upside down, disrupt your comfortable walk and all that you cling to in this time state, if the Lord is pleased to, in his wondrous mercy, to do these things for the purpose that he'll draw you closer to himself by it, then it's sanctified. But trouble in and of itself will never draw people to Christ. They shall come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And they'll have to come, my friends. Because you'll be brought off every help of man. We read in this chapter of those that were offended at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now there's an experience. The Lord will take away the props, the crutches that you lean on, the help of man, the wisdom of man, your own wisdom and ingenuity. Oh, you may have been brought up under the truth. You may be able to quote chapter and verse. But when the trials of the way or the burdens of your heart grow heavy enough, and all these helps are insufficient, then you'll come. Few but any come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. My friends, if the Lord is dealing with your souls in a gracious way and drawing you to himself, you'll live to praise him for it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Eternal certainties. But then you'll prove, as Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. And I believe this with all my heart, that the day that dawns, that brings you to hang upon Christ for your soul and for everything, is the best day in your life. And my friends, the Lord deliver us from leaning anywhere else and going anywhere else. They shall come to me, and they'll come destitute, they'll come dependent, they'll come hungry, they'll come thirsty, they'll come needy, and they'll constantly be brought there. And then the Lord sometimes is pleased to chasten his people. His chastening's therefore prize, the privilege of a saint. And chastening will bring you to the footstool of mercy. And you'll prove there that his mercy still continues. that he is an unchangeable God, that nothing can separate you and nothing can prevent you from realizing the blessings. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And it is, of course, with you'll come just as you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and thou the only ones who will, my friends. Thou'll come to him in the trials of the way, thou'll come to him in the afflictions of the pathway, thou'll come to him in the sorrows of their soul, when a fresh view of their own sin and iniquity prevails, they'll come to him. There's a word in the gospel, and it says this, and they came to him from every quarter, every quarter. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But then they'll prove this, and you'll prove this, what those of old proved as he preached his gospel for 3 years or so here below. And that is that none could bring to him anything that he couldn't deal with. That's a mercy if you believe that. You know, we have various things in our pathway which we desire the Lord to deal with. Impossibilities. Impossibilities they are, some of us have. We find as we approach the mercy seat that we have all the impossibilities seem to get greater. I remember once, I better not say where, but I remember once going to a house of prayer for the day to preach. And I went in there full of fears in my heart. And it was read in my hearing this verse. Oh, that did do me good. That did do me good. And that set the day for my soul at least, whether anybody else did. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. You've got some mountains. God's put some mountains in your path. You've got some impossibilities. You've got some circumstances or some impending trials. You've got something before you that's like a mountain. That's the place to go to, my friends, where the mountains flow down at thy presence. It may be that the Lord will see fit that you continue in the trial, that you continue in the pathway. But when the Lord draws near, the mountains flow down, the burdens are not there. He's pleased to draw near to his doubting, fearing, destitute, sinners of a people that they are. They shall come. They'll come in prayer. They'll come in faith. They'll come in faith, my friends. Yet will I look again. You've been there. Jonah, the disobedient prophet of God, sent to minister the word to a city that was deserving God's judgment and condemnation. He turns tail and flees to Tarshish. He was brought under the chastening hand of God for disobedience. Disobedience, hard path, disobedient children, rebellious children walk. But God knew how to bring him back. And he brought him back by that way where he had to prove salvation is of the Lord. But he came to that place at the end of all his abilities and all his rebellious spirit. It disappeared, you know, that rebellious spirit in the whale's belly. And he was brought to look again. Yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. But then come in sinners, a believing sinners. Faith is needed to come to Jesus Christ, and none come unless there's the exercise of faith in their soul. There's a looking again towards his holy temple. There's a once more casting upon him all your care. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They'll come to him for pardon. The Lord so teach you your state and case by nature, and the Lord so teach you the burden of your sin, you'll come to him for pardon. There's only one place, my friends, that you and I'll know pardon, forgiveness, healing, restoration. It's at the cross. It's at those bleeding wounds of our incarnate head. That's the place to come. And it is recorded, is it not, in the Gospels, especially in Luke's Gospel, of the case of the dying thief. It's there that none shall presume. It's there that none shall despair. None shall despair. There at the 11th hour of his life, he was brought to have a view of Christ, a view that you might wish and desire to see, but he had a view. He was condemned to death, and he was condemned by his sin. There is a word which very few understand or understand by experience. They may understand it in the letter. But that dying thief said to Christ, or said to his fellow thief, "We indeed justly." We indeed justly. So they do. So we are all. We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. You know, there is a very solemn line in one of our hymns. The Lord grant us grace to sing these things. But as one word there comes to mind of the justice of God about sending our souls to hell. It's very solemn. It's very solemn to sing it without thinking. But this look of the dying thief was a look of faith. It was an act of mercy. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then whatever condition, all those that came to Christ here below. You know, there was various cases and conditions, there was various things which only he could deal with, only deity could deal with. You'll come ready to perish. The woman with the issue of blood, I thought coming along this morning, of the woman with the issue of blood, she had tried various cures, spent all, and had rather grew worse. Have you come there? The knowledge of your sin will bring your fleshly religion to the forefront, and will improve this situation. We'll try to reform. We won't speak as we used to speak. We'll careful what we say to people. We'll keep to the Sabbath day. We'll go to the house of God. We'll be found at the prayer meetings. My friends, keep going, but don't rest. Don't rest there. That's not a place to rest. If you do, you're resting on your own righteousness. Flesh, it's surprising what religious flesh will do. And this old flesh will try to reform. But you'll come when you're brought ready to perish. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There are certainties, these people. These characters who are given to Christ, whatever state or condition there are, just like these in the scriptures of truth, left on record to encourage, they'll come as they are. And the Lord will deal with them. The Lord can deal with them. The Lord will deal with them. But then it may be I hear someone say, but I keep on coming, and I don't seem to get the remedy that I seek for. I don't seem to have the blessing that I pray for. You know, you might come, and I've got a person who said to me, I reminded them of the Pool of Bethesda, that there was a man there, sat there 38 years. And this woman said to me, I've been longer than 38 years. But there is a wonderful word there, you know, and Jesus knew that he had been a long time in that case. A long time. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But he doesn't say how long you'll come. He doesn't say how long you'll wait. He doesn't say how long that you'll be disappointed and turn back and come again, because you'll have to come again. You'll have to lay it before the Lord. And you'll have to go like Esther did before the king. And if I perish, I perish. But it didn't stop her going, did it? And my friends, the scriptures bear it out, that they shall not be ashamed that wait for him. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Not any wise. Not at any time. Not at any way. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Another gracious promise. They shall come. There's a promise. And the promise is to those that do come that they are not cast out. Oh, you might be cast down. And you might well be discouraged by various friends and foes. And amongst them, of course, the adversary to your soul. Oh, I find that whisper still. Do you find it, that little whisper? Isn't always as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. He whispers into the heart. And the intent of the whisper is that you'll give up going. And that you'll give up praying. That you won't seek for this blessing because he told you it's not for him. But if the Lord's laid the exercise in your heart, whether it's the exercise of your soul, whether it's the exercise of the Church of Christ, whether it's an exercise of the ministry of the gospel, you know, it's like a little fire that keeps burning away, doesn't go out, will never go out, this exercise, whatever it is the Lord's put in your heart, oh, you'll probably want to put it out, and you'll probably have a few friends who will try and put it out. And you'll have a few foes that will try and put it out. But living faith, which is what these characters have in their heart, cannot be extinct, cannot be put out, cannot be shut up. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well now, my friends, that is the promise to this blessed people that are given to Christ. And it doesn't say either how many times that you'll have to come. I believe when a soul is brought into spiritual life, soul trouble commences, and that'll continue. It'll continue down to the end of their journey. And they shall call, and they shall come, and they shall have to come, because all that they need is with the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. They'll come to him whilst the work of grace continues on this earth. They'll come to him and be brought to need him, and see him in him all their sufficiency, all their help, all their grace. Oh, how necessary that is. And you know, when when we get into a state spiritually of deadness and apathy, do you dread that? You may dread trials and troubles, my friends. You may dread afflictions and sorrows. And oh, you'd steer away from it and run another direction rather than to have troubles and trials. But do you rather dread the quietness and the calm and the undisturbed state spiritually more rather than that? I feel so. I feel so. And we can get into these, well, lethargic conditions. Prayer becomes, well, can hardly call it prayer. It's just a few rehearsed words. There's no exercise about it. There's no faith about it. We approach the throne of grace with carelessness in our spirit. Ah, but watch God's hand, my friends. Because if you're a child of grace, he'll give you something to pray for and pray over. He'll burden you with something else. Was it Bunyan said, when one trouble o'er, the next one doth us seize? It may be that you can't say that. I can't. Because there ain't been one trouble you're over yet. I've got a trouble that's been for years and years in my heart. And it brings me to the throne of grace. And the Lord knows how to stir prayer up in his people. And the Lord knows how to stir it up to make us come with many errands to his mercy seat and lay our case there. And him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Now there's the proof of a faithful God. No change can take place in him. He receiveth sinners. That's a good word, isn't it? The Pharisees said it. This man receiveth sinners. Bless God, he ever did. Bless God, he still receives sinners. But the state and condition of a sinner, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And now the life of grace in the soul is the gift of God. And the Holy Spirit will maintain that life in the soul. Paul said to the church at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will continue it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now we read in our reading the state and condition of some of his disciples, or many. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And they were offended. And there were some of them that believed not. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And you may find that strange. But what was Jesus Christ speaking of? Well, in a word, my friends, a soul that is blessed with grace, a soul that is taught by the Spirit of God, lives upon Jesus Christ. That's the simplicity of that, which was a dispute to those unbelieving disciples. They live upon Jesus Christ. And you and I, if we're spiritual, by spiritual birth that is, will live upon Jesus Christ for everything. We'll need his blood to cleanse. We'll need him to hold us up in the way. We need his mediatorial work at the throne of grace as we approach the mercy seat. We need Christ in everything. And oh, you'll need Christ to maintain you in life. You'll learn what it is, what he himself said, without me you can do nothing. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And there is one more way that I want to put before you. And it's the Lord prepares his people for glory by a work of grace in this time state. The purpose of the Holy Ghost's work is to quicken into life dead souls. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to convince of sin and to lead to Jesus' blood. But over it all and concerning it all is this, that God is preparing his people for glory. When the work of grace is done, they will know what it is to be in glory with Christ. Now, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They'll come in need of him, and they'll come to him. But it, by these ways which he teaches, these methods that he uses, where you and I are brought to need Jesus Christ in all things, it is that one day we shall come to him and go no more out. Thou shalt see my glory soon. When the work of grace is done, partner of my throne shalt be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Or there will be a day, my friends, when you'll come to him and go no more out. No more out. There is a very blessed promise, and it speaks of heaven. It speaks of that which is before every tried saint of God, everyone that needs Jesus Christ in this time state, and everyone that can witness to the truth that he's never cast them out, however difficult, however hard, however discouraged, they've never been cast out. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he went to Calvary, had in view a finished work and a complete church. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. My friends, he will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. One eternal Sabbath, where congregations ne'er break up, and Sabbath of an end. They're poor types, if you may excuse me. They're poor types, you know. The Lord's days are poor types in respect to heaven. Our blessed days, our places and times and spots the Lord's dear people can look back on, and visits from God will make them special days. But we have to confess at the end of it all that sin is mixed with all we do. But you know, in that glorious habitation above, where the people of God shall meet around that white throne, they shall go no more out. They'll not have to come again. Prayer will be replaced by praise. Grace will give place to glory. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But there was one more thing, and I won't keep you much more longer. I spoke about the unchangeableness of this precious Jesus. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And how the Church of Christ, the people of God, will prove that in coming, so they are encouraged to come, so they are enabled to come, so they venture to come, and they venture upon his promise and venture upon his mercy, and they prove his faithfulness, his continuance, his that he is the same, and his years shall have no end. And as the apostle says, that he's the same yesterday, today and forever. But oh, that blessed place where we shall go no more out. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A blessed place. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. May the word of his grace be owned and blessed to sinners this day. Might it be a word of encouragement. My friends, I know not, but you and I are often brought to give up and call no more. The Lord help you to continue.
Close this afternoon by singing hymn number 680. The tune is Bishop Thorpe 104. Number 680, before all worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. All those that God had foreordained, these shall and must believe. Not all the craft of earth or hell shall one of these deceive. 600.